Okay, in the interest of time, I think we should begin today's webinar. Thank you all for joining us today. Good evening and good afternoon here in Washington. My name is George Lawa, and I am a space policy student at the Space Policy Institute, as well as an assistant here. And I am also a proud member of the Space Generation Advisory Council, our close partner and co-sponsor for today's event. I will be your moderator for today's discussion. Our topic for this webinar will be Romanian space activities. Together, we will try to better understand current and future Romanian activities in space by listening to four distinguished speakers present each of their areas of expertise, then answer some of your questions. I would like to offer the floor to Dr. Henry Hertzfeld, Director of the Space Policy Institute, for our opening remarks today. Dr. Hertzfeld?
George, thank you very much. First, a hearty welcome from Space Policy Institute and George Washington University. We're very pleased to host this truly international panel. And, you know, even though we're all a little bit burned out with the online webinars and videos, you couldn't have put together a better panel. And having true experts from Romania to talk about the space program there. We usually want to think of European space programs. We don't think about Romania that often. It's a medium-sized program, but when I did a little background reading, actually their expenditures on space are roughly equivalent to those of Austria, Czechoslovakia, Poland, many other nations that we also that we know have space programs, space agencies, and are very active. In fact, when I went on the website yesterday, I was very pleased and surprised to find that 53 space companies were listed there and 79 research institutes in Romania with some connection to the space agency. So it's a very robust program. And George will give the introductions, but I just wanted to point out that he's put together a panel of some very very senior experts, the head of the Romanian Space Agency, Dr. Piso, who has also been elected as head of COPLUS, the UN Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, for this year, and also cosmonaut Dmitry Pruniario, who flew almost 40 years ago into space and has remained active both with COPLUS, being head of the science technology subcommittee of COPLUS, and of course was a former head of the Romanian Space Agency as well. And that's balanced by two younger folks from Romania, Alexandra Dereasco, who's a consultant with Euroconsult, and Raris Pisag, who is an entrepreneur with a startup in Romania. So with that, and George came to me, and I was very pleased to do this. He's graduating from our program, probably looking for a job as well this year. And he's been it's been a pleasure to have him and his representation at the Institute. With that, I'll turn it back to George for more detailed introductions, and look forward to the discussion today. And again, thank you, George. Thank you for all, also for all the panelists and our audience, which is, I've been watching, is growing as people log in. Yours, George.
Thank you, Dr. Hertzfeld. I am delighted to have with us today such a distinct panel, comprised of representative members of the civil and commercial sides of space in Romania. I would like to introduce each of and single one of them with a brief bio summarizing their distinguished careers. I will start with Dr. Marius Ioan Piso, who is the president and CEO of the Romanian space agency ROSA. He contributed to the establishment and leadership of the Romanian Space Agency, the Institute for Sp- Space Science and the National Research and Development Programs in Space, Aeronautics, and Security. Dr. Piso is currently serving as the rotating chairman of the United Nations Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, UNCOPUAS, for the 2020 and 2021 period. He was elected as a member of the International Astronautical Academy and has been a member of the Board of Trustees since 2007 and its vice president since 2019. In the order in which they will be speaking, we have Ms. Alexandra Jerkeanu, who joined Euroconsult Paris, a consulting company for space activities, in March 2020 as a project manager. March 2019, I think. As a project manager with the company's events and marketing team. She works on several program developments as part of Euroconsult's flagship event, the World Satellite Business Week, including the Summit on Earth Observation Business and new tracks such as Enterprise Connectivity and Smart Agri Forums. Alexandra is also the regional coordinator for Europe under the Space Generation Advisory Council, a global network of students and young professionals. She will be telling us more about that during her presentation. She is also the recipient of the International Astronautical Federation's 2019 Emerging Space Leader Awards. Next, we have Mr. Rares Bishag, who is one of the founders of the Romanian Space Initiative, ROSPIN, student-led NGO that aims to promote and encourage the space field in Romania, with the vision of creating a community united by its aspirations for space. The NGO aims to build the first Romanian educational CubeSat meant to watch over Romania's forests, an issue very close to many Romanians today. Before founding ROSPIN, Radosh was the president of Euravia, Bucharest, an NGO organized by and for aerospace engineering students. Last but not least, we have Mr. Dumitru Dorin Prunariu, who is the one and only Romanian cosmonaut. He flew in space aboard Soyuz 40 spacecraft and Salyut 6 space laboratory. Since 1978, Mr. Prunariu was an active officer of the Romanian Air Force. For different periods of time, Mr. Prunariu was detached within other ministries to perform civil functions. Between 1998 and 2004, Mr. Prunariu was president of the Romanian space agency ROSA. For almost 2 years, starting May 2004, he was the ambassador of Romania to the Russian Federation in Moscow. Currently, Mr. Prunariu is working for the Romanian Space Agency as an expert within the Romanian Association for Space Technology and Industry, ROMSpace. In 2002, Prunariu was elected as the chairman of the Scientific and Technical Committee Subcommittee of the United Nations COPUAS for the period February 2006. And in 2009, he was elected chairman of the UN COPUAS for 2010 through 2012. Between 2006 and 2008, Mr. Prunariu accomplished the duties of the director of the Romanian Office for Science and Technology to the European Commission in Brussels. In 1985, Mr. Prunariu joined as one of the founding members the Association for Space Explorers, ASE, which, as of 2015, has over 400 members flown into outer space from 36 countries. Between 1993 and 2004, he has been the permanent representative of ASE to the United Nations Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. Next, it is my pleasure to offer the floor to Dr. Piso, who would be discussing the plans of ROSA. Please allow me 1 second to upload your presentation, Dr. Piso.
George, did you manage to upload the presentation?
It is in the works, yes.
Perfect, okay. Good evening,
Good evening, everybody. Thank you, George, for the organization. Thank you, Dr. Hirschfeld, for the nice words and being the main tutor, professor, which led this field in the Space Policy Institute. Nice to see you, Doreen, and nice to see you, Alexandra and Raj, and good evening, everybody. Thank you for attending this interesting meeting. Well, I will try not to speak very much about the Romanian Space Agency because you can get info everywhere. I will concentrate a bit my presentation on how to build an agency, how we managed to build a space agency in a smaller country. Give some examples of what we are doing today. Next slide, how can I change the presentation? How can I?
There is a menu on the left side of your screen.
Yes, I'm looking at it.
There are two little arrows on top and below.
Yes, my Mac is not very okay. Well, briefly, the Romanian Space Agency. This is the National Space Agency established 1995. We celebrated the 25 years a couple of weeks ago. It is a public organization which is representative and the coordinator of space activities in Romania. It is the financing agency for the national research and technology development programs on space, aerospace, and security. And ROSA has also some roles in the activities related to national security and defense today. ROSA is its main job as a national representative for the European Space Agency. So we're representing the government of Romania in the relation with ESA. Then we did the same for the European Union space programs, as for Copernicus, Galileo, space surveillance and tracking, GovSatCom. Also for COPUS and also for NATO related space related activities and for a large number of international organizations and bilateral and national space agencies, and I will speak about in a couple of minutes. ROSA has also its own research center and manages some centers of so-called centers of competence. We started from a background in Romania, having some rocket and airplane pioneers, as Herman and we launched. Scientists launch a payload on a Cosmos satellite, Russian satellite. Then there were different research in the area of science, mostly space physics and satellite dynamics. Also Earth observation applications and much Earth space technology, also space communications. The first ground station and Intelsat in 1977. The first cosmonaut, Mr. Prunar, who is here, Doreen, he remembers probably. He was flying in 1981. And the background in the aerospace industry and the aerospace and defense with some integrators. Romania was, before the 90s, a builder of surface air missiles and others, and universities. You can see here, probably you are able to see, it is a slide showing on how this agency has been built. And I think this is a good example for, let's see, on how to build an agency. So we started from those the tradition. There was it was not too much. Sorry. Okay, it's good. And we started in 1999. In 1990, Romania changed from communism to the present democratic, freedom-loving state. And we were some scientists, and I worked in research and development. I was involved in basic research, experimental research, and also in building financial guidance systems. And my colleagues worked in the Institutes of Physics and also in the aerospace and defense industry. And we have also the astronaut, who was a public person. Not very public before, because there was only one public person in the communism, and not him. And we managed together to start the process to build a space agency, to move from the former Russian Intercosmos program to the European one, to the European Space Agency. This was our main intention, and to build a space development institute in Romania. And the first steps were, we managed to enter in discussion with the European Space Agency, and in 1993 we were able to sign the first agreement of cooperation, which allowed us to make some exchanges. We signed the second agreement with ESA in 1998. Also, in 2005, we were able to conclude the program for European Cooperating State. So Romania becomes an ESA cooperating state. It was a program that has been designed together with us and with other three former socialist countries. And in 2011, we managed to be admitted as an ESA member state. So it was a quite long process. We were the second country after Czech Republic, which has been admitted, allowed to ESA. We were followed by Poland after 1 year, then by Hungary and Estonia. And the list has been closed until today. There were also Slovenia. It is an associated state. Then, in 1993, the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Our Space moved from Washington, D.C. to Vienna. And the Romanian Space Agency was able to participate to the Romanian delegation, to COPUS. Romania was then the vice president of COPUS, the permanent vice president. And in 1995, Rosa already was the head of the delegation. Then in 1999, we organized the Regional Unispace 3 Conference for Europe in Bucharest. Then Dorin Prunariu, Romania, by Dorin, was the chairman of the Scientific and Technical Subcommittee, then the committee. Then we are again, after more than 10 years, we are chairing the COPUS. So this COPUS was also an area of evolution, and we were able to make the necessary connection and to create confidence in other countries, in professionals, but also in diplomats. Then internationally, the evolution was we become a member of COSPAR in 1994. We tried to build a regional cooperation. It was a network for science and research and education in Eastern and Southeastern Europe. It was not a perfect mechanism. We included also Greece and Turkey in the system. But that network was functioned for a couple of years, but then the states moved to the EU, part of them, and also to ESA. Then, since 2005, we were an active country in NATO. We were one of the nine sponsor member states of the Space Science and Technology Advisory Group in NATO, and we organized in Bucharest, it is not classified today, the first specialist meeting. There were something like 10 discussing and selecting some NATO priorities in space. Then we provided, and still today we are providing in NATO, the Science for Peace and Security representation, and also the Research and Technology Organization, actually the Collaborative Science Office, for the space and space-related panels and programs. EU was another goal. Since 2003, I was one of the speakers at the inauguration conference of the Europe Research and Technology Program Framework Program 6, which was the first one which included space as a distinct item. In parallel, we worked for the so-called European Space Policy Green Paper, which became the White Paper in 2003. Then again, Framework Program 7 with the space-related topics, and actually we are at the end of the Horizon 2020 R&D program. And we are preparing the Horizon Europe Research Program of Europe for the 2021-2027, which will contain probably something like 10 to 15% space. An important issue in EU are the so-called European Union space programs, which are the Galileo, the European Satellite Navigation Program, actually operational, Copernicus, the European Union Space Earth Observation Program, operational, and the other two, which are under development, it is the GovSatCom. This is the special space communications program for governments and for security and defense organizations. And the SST, the Space Surveillance and Tracking. Actually, my agency is the national so-called competent public authority for Galileo. This means we are holding the keys for the regulated signal of Galileo. And we are also keeping the Copernicus collaborative ground segment. This is a mirror site for the region, for Copernicus data. And also, we are one of the eight European countries included in the Consortium for Space Surveillance and Tracking. We have four optical capacities in different areas of Romania, and we're building, it's almost finalized, the quasi-monostatic radar with two 32-meter diameter dishes, which will be able to track objects of, let's say, a couple of one or 2 inches, a couple of centimeters, at 1,000 kilometers distance. Then, I'm running a bit out of time. At the national level, this is also interesting for evolution. So we were organized first as a board needed for the first negotiation with ESA. It was a board within the Ministry of Science and Universities. Then, 25 years ago, we have been organized as a public organization and a legal person, and where they have the same legal structure as 25 years ago. We were, let's say, tracking most of the national research programs in Romania. There was a specific one in 2001, it's called Aerospatial. Then it was a 4 years program called the Research of Excellence, where we had a space and security dedicated area. Then the STAR program, which was synchronized with the ESA capacities. And presently, we still have some national funding in the Solutions program, which is connect space with industry and security. Then we were able also to organize a subcommittee in the parliament since 2008. And this committee was able to organize twice the AISC meeting. This is the European Interparliamentary Space Conference, which is actually functioning. The ingredients to build a space agency, they were, let's say, a group of wise humans, so not men, not women, humans. Then some key institutions, this means research institutes and laboratories. This means industry, and in our case, it meant also the military. Then we have national support from other organizations. We brought some international support, and also we asked for political support. But the key issues when building a space agency, it's people. And of course, some tradition. It is to convince a government to build a national space program, there are some important elements. So space is a driver for all major technology fields, in particular for the newest ones. And I can speak maybe a couple of hours only on describing this issue. But for the finance ministries, you have a multiplication factor, which is fantastic. And I will mention that at the launch of the last Chinese sample return mission to the moon, the representative of China National Space Agency, which in China, the space program brings a multiplication factor of 11. So one yuan invested in space brought other 11 yuan in the economic and societal area. Then it is important for a smaller country, the industrial competitiveness. This means that if I'm a satellite, so the major expenses are the human ones, the salaries. And this means that if I'm building a satellite in Romania, where the salaries, let's say, are 60% of the ones of Germany, this satellite will be cheaper at the same conditions. And this means my country and also the European Union is becoming competitive when selling this satellite. And we can still keep this competitiveness for a decade at least. At the purchase parity power, the scientist or the engineer in Romania has the same or better conditions than in the European Union. thinking also that in Romania, because there are a lot of new things to do, young scientists can become a leader. He might be able to involve in leadership faster than in US or in a developed country in the EU. Then government also needs some national relevant projects, and I can list here the projects that we did in Romania. So the land information systems, as the land parcel information systems for agriculture and for agricultural subsidies, disaster management as floods, connectivity, SATCOM, traffic management, and some other national security related. Our present strategy since 2018 is the 3S. This means science and technology, services, and security. And we are keeping this strategy probably for the next couple of years and capacities of our country and on the EU market, and it proved to be efficient. I have a list here of some center of competence. Our development is based on niches. We're participating to almost all the ESA optional programs, but with niches. For example, wireless intra-satellite technology. This means in a large communication satellite, you're replacing the harnesses by something like wireless systems. Then, let's see, Black Sea and Lower Danube studies. This means this is a geographic niche. Then the atmospheric science, this means aerosol technology and calibration of satellites, or space applications for agriculture, or laser technology utilizing extremely powerful lasers that we have in Romania, that with a 1 petawatt laser, we are able to reproduce the environment around the Jupiter. This means we can provide radiation hardening for the possible, for the future missions towards the Jupiter and its satellites. Well, we also managed to have a balanced geographic distribution in the country, and this is important because you can have support from the regional stakeholders, which are important, and we managed to have this support not only for the some industrial development, but also for the support in regional education, regional training for some universities, which provided to be very necessary. I thank you for your attention, and sorry for the time, but I need it to give this short description, and hopefully it will be it will give this is an original, let's say, way to the big space player. Thank you,
Dr. Piso. Thank you so much for your presentation. I would like to let our guests know that we will be able to provide them these presentations for the reference after the event.
Definitely.
I would like to offer the floor to Alexandra Jerkeanu to discuss the role of SGAC in Romania, among other things. Alexandra, you have the floor, and if you would like to upload your presentation. Give me 1 second, please, Alexandra. I'm working on it.
Sorry about that. I mute myself. Can you hear me now, George?
Yes.
Perfect. I hope also the presentation is showing. So hi, everybody, and thank you once again for joining. Thank you so much, George, for giving us the opportunity to be here, as well as to Mr. Hausfeld for having me today on this panel. Where I'm representing mostly the Space Generation Advisory Council. You've mentioned that I'm currently one of the regional coordinators for Europe, a position which I have been elected to since 2017. So before I zoom in on Romania, actually, just wanted to kind of give a kind of a rush brief on what SJC is and what we do. So SJC was established at Unispace 3 conference in 1999 in Vienna, where we're still headquartered, and as a global non-governmental and a non-profit organization with the purpose of kind of capturing the voice of and opinions of young professionals and students across the world and give that back to space agencies, to the United Nations, to industry and academia. If we kind of move fast forward 21 years, actually later, SJC's activities are currently spread across five pillars. I'm just going to mention four of them during this presentation: events, project groups, professional development, and scholarships. And I'm happy to know that SJC is currently kind of the largest volunteer-led organization of young professionals within the space sector, and we currently cover six regions, 150 countries, with a membership of over 15,000 people. In terms of events, we have three types of events: global events, which we host in cooperation with the International Astronomical Federation, the Space Symposium, as well as Satellite Washington. 2019 was a particularly landmark year for SJC, as it was the first time in our history that we actually managed to cover all of the six continents with regional congresses. And we also, in addition to these kind of larger meetings, we also organize SG country events where we zoom in on, you know, national space topics and networking opportunities for the local ecosystems. Of course, in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, we were very quick to move online. And since March 2020, we have organized about 90 webinars, bringing together over 10,000 people from 125 countries on a very diverse group of topics, as you can see here from this slide, from coffee hours with entrepreneurs to Earth observation to artificial intelligence and gender diversity topics. So a very diverse interest in terms of community and focuses. Now, we also have the SJC project groups, which bring together basically and facilitate cooperation and exchanges on research and policy papers. And we usually cover quite a few. You can see that we cover quite the entire space satellite value added chain. And in addition to that, we also provide at SJC, in cooperation with industry and space agencies, about 150 scholarships a year to our community, with the providing opportunities basically for our community to present their views and share their research in international forums. Moreover, starting last year, we have started a mentorship program, as well as to kind of leverage our growing alumni network and bring that expertise back to students and young professionals. And we've also now launched a kind of a job board where we try to gather all of these opportunities for young people under one umbrella. So now just moving in closely and focusing on Romania and what we have done in Romania. So in 2018, I had the honor of leading a European team of 10 volunteers to bring our Space Gen network to Bucharest, where we gathered basically 100 delegates to the third European Space Generation Workshop. We had about 23 expert speakers, international and European speakers coming to join us. And of course, this would not have been possible without the strong support of sponsors and partners, among which, of course, was ROSA and the Polytechnic University in Bucharest, who was our host. And with this event, what I've personally tried to do is kind of to build that first, building block of starting and putting together a space community in Romania, and to provide a space where young professionals can support each other, share opportunities, and also connect the Romanian young community, let's say, of space enthusiasts to European and global, and also global opportunities. Now, that was in 2018, and we're now 22 years away, and in preparation kind of this presentation, and to try to lay the ground for an exchange, for our later exchanges in the future, I wanted to start by putting Romania a little bit in the global and regional context when it comes to space activities, because 2020 has been kind of a landmark year for government space spending worldwide, according to our Euroconsult data here. We've just launched a governmental space program forecast actually yesterday. So our report and for this year's analysis, we're estimating that kind of the space sector budget in 2020 has peaked at $82.5 billion, a growth that we have not seen since 2009, and it's a 10% positive growth to 2019. And it's important, I think, to know that we're looking at an expansion of civil space budgets. We are expecting the civil space budget basically to grow. And I think an important detail, especially for Romania, and you're right to say, George, that we're a mid-country because we're currently ranking 39, let's say, out of the 88 agencies that we've analyzed for our governmental space program forecasts. We are currently in an environment where we have the double of number of agencies that we had 20 years ago. So there we clearly see an increased interest in space. And also, Romanians' expenditures in space are also mirroring this upward trends, with a nearly like 50% budget increase between 2015 and 2020. And now I've also told Mr. Pisa that he's also free to comment on this data and our projections, so I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on this. But now it's important also to consider that 70 to 80% of Romanians' space expenditure is allocated to the European Space Agency and EUMETSAT. So what is happening at a regional level? So I know there's a lot of data to unpack on this slide, but I wanted to kind of showcase and bring your attention to the fact that we are seeing increased budgets, envelopes to Earth observation and satellite navigation programs, which on my side, I translate as an increased interest towards the downstream space-based applications. And in Europe, we specifically focus on indeed Copernicus and Galileo application, which also Mr. Piso mentioned, both of which are based on a free and open data policy. And that plays a lot of a big role in kind of fueling that downstream space application. And also, I think it's important to keep in mind that worldwide Earth observation is currently kind of the third highest ranking application that is being funded across over 40 countries. So increased popularity in leveraging space satellite data. But also in the context in which, if we look at Romania, and you know, it's fair to say that space is not necessarily a political goal for Romania, and the fact that perhaps less than 1% of Romania's GDP is allocated to space. I've asked myself, so I wanted to look at what are the main sectors that are a priority for the Romanian industry. And I'm sorry, I didn't find exactly an English drop-down menu of the priority sectors, but I've translated them for you. So here, so we see that in Romania, the real estate, infrastructure, ICT, and agriculture together an industry with almost automotive industry kind of leading those country interests. But also, if I look at the Copernicus and Galileo kind of opportunities or where we would see, we'd expect to see the most economic return, I could see that there is a match between, for example, agriculture, forestry, infrastructure monitoring, and there is an entire ecosystem kind of outside the ESA geo-return that can provide incubation funding for startups, prizes, hackathons, and these are available and open to any Romanian citizen or Romanian entrepreneur. And I think we, looking towards the future, this is something that we need to communicate those opportunities more and also target the sectors better and kind of focus on the country's strategic sectors. But kind of to wrap up these ideas of know, what would I do in the future, and what would I recommend kind of the young generation to look towards? It's, I would start with breaking community silos, because at least in my bubble here, I see that there's a lot of active communities in Romania. The ICT community is super active in terms of volunteering, as well as the geo community. What I fail to see, however, is a lot of exchange between these communities. And I think a space and space application could be that connecting link to bring us together for better cooperation. Then advocate. And I say this to everybody, because I don't believe that it's only ROSA's mission to advocate for an increased space budget in Romania. I think this is a mission for every citizen on our side, because a lot of these space-based applications are transversal and are affecting our daily lives. So space is a political endeavor, and I believe that each and every one of us can be an ambassador to that. Play on strengths. Target the sectors that matter the most. Climate change and forestry, for example, are topics that are very sensitive to and very kind of aggregating and catalyzing for the Romanian sector. So these are topics that could bring space applications and the space community together. I think it's also important that we Romanians and Romania in general should really start focusing on growing talent and maintaining that talent at home. It is no secret that Romania has been suffering from very high skills and brain drain for the past years. So I think a way kind of to tackle that is to urge companies to focus on setting up cooperation, internship opportunities, traineeship opportunities, schemes with universities as early as possible. The recent ESA FILA that was just established at the Polytechnic University of Bucharest is a great step in that direction, to provide that background to provide that framework for students to exchange with industry. Now I think what we need to think about is how are we going to scale that up at the regional level and also cover the other regions in Romania. And last but not least, leverage the existing networks and outside kind of Romanian experts. I've been working in the sector for the past 5 years now, and I run into Romanian experts here in the space sector and sometimes in unexpected places. I can't speak for all of them, but I'm sure that many of them will jump at the opportunity to bring back their knowledge to the young community in Romania. And I think here in this virtual format with webinars, this is kind of the perfect opportunity to do so. So if I look at SGEC and what we're looking towards the future in Romania, this is largely depending on the local community. So here I'm sharing the context of our two national contact points, which you can reach out to. We also have a lot of volunteering positions that go out every month. And if there's an SGEC Romanian event, a hackathon, a webinar series, we're here kind of an open to your ideas on how to cooperate. So don't hesitate to contact us. And with this, I wrap up and give the floor back to you, George.
Thank you so much, Alexandra, for your comprehensive presentation and for keeping it brief today. Next, I would like to offer the floor to Rares Bishag to discuss the exciting new ventures of Romanian students and young entrepreneurs. Rares, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Just 1 second to share my presentation. Okay, so everybody, I suppose, can see my screen. Okay, perfect. So hello, everyone. Thank you, George, for the invitation for this event. My name is Rares, and I'm one of the founders of Romanian Space Initiative, an NGO that aims to gather the Romanian space community. I will talk about the start of our initiative, of our journey, then a little bit about our activity and about how we see the future of the space community. This journey, the ROSPIN journey, started almost 2 years ago when I was I met some students from computer science. And me being a part of Eurasia, as you mentioned in my introduction, we wanted to make some things that were far beyond our expertise as aerospace engineers. So we met the computer science students, and we gathered a team, And the first thing was to make a proposal for the Flyer Satellite 3 competition organized by ESA. And unfortunately, our project was not selected, but we remained a community. So we decided to make this thing a whole bigger level, and we decided to found an organization with a scope to create a united community in terms of passion and interest in the space field, as it's very important for us, as the space field now is in the public attention and everyone is starting to talk about it. We want to support, to organize and to promote any cultural and educational activities which are related to the space field, because it's very important for us, for students, to learn from the experts and other experienced people, because we are the future of the industry. And that being said, we want to prepare and familiarize the Romanian students with the methodology and the structure of the space field project. We are doing this for the moment with three projects. These are, for the moment, our activity. The first project that we had was the machine learning applied in aerospace circle with the help of one of our alumnus from aerospace engineering faculty from University Polytechnica of Bucharest. We gathered 20 participants, mostly aerospace engineers, and he delivered to them some data science fundamentals. And after 6 months of training, now we are looking for a study case in collaboration with the industry to develop an application based on the knowledge that we gathered there. The second and maybe the most ambitious project of our organization is the CubeSat, the Rospin Sat 1, which is, let's say, the follow-on of the first activity that meant us together. So we made another team. We had a recruitment phase almost 1 month ago, and now we are 36 members, from bachelor, from master, even graduates and young professionals from industry, both Romanians from Romania and both Romanians that studied abroad, and now they are part of our team. We have a different background because it's very important to have in this team also engineers, but physicists also. And let's say the mission goals, we chose to survey the Romanian forest as it's a very important topic for us. And let's say the most challenging thing is to do this by delivering a small size system alternative for the Earth observation phase. So this is our mission. We followed for the moment. We are in the preliminary phase of planning all the projects, but we set the first milestones, the first four milestones of the project. And first, we'll have a mission analysis review in the end of January, followed by a system requirements review in order to generate all the requirements needed to enter the design phase, the preliminary design phase. And after that, we will go to the critical design review. We hope to have that in September. In order to ensure that what we are doing is fantastic, we want to establish a committee, let's say, which will take the role of client. We want to invite here the national agency, some companies, to play the role of the customer, not, we being the engineers. Just 1 second. The third project and the last one that now we are working on is Rospin Academy. When we had the recruitment phase, we had almost 200 applications, but our CubeSat team was too small for that people. A lot of them were first year and second year, and they wanted to learn more about space. And that being said, considering their feedback and their insight, we decided to go with the third event, Rospin Academy, which we have as target group the students from the first year and the second year. And there, during 14 weeks, they will have lectures, technical lectures from industry experts, also trainings regarding communication, critical thinking. But also a very important thing for us, being students and let's say being at the start of our journey in the career, some inspirational talks from astronauts, from success people, in order to motivate them to join the space field and domain. After that, if there are students which want to make some a practical project, we will open a call for projects. And we will support them to achieve their objective, their mission. Now regarding how we see the future, well, we expect the space sector to grow in Romania. Even if we are talking maybe about new companies, startups, or maybe some companies that decide to go into the space field, as there are a lot of IT and C companies that they have the infrastructure and the know-how, and they just need to switch to the space field. Also, we expect and we are eager all these companies to be part of the most important missions for us as human race. And now I can say as example Hera, the mission Hera, which has a lot of Romanian companies which are part of it. Also, it's very important for this community to have a lot of experiences in the matters of learning and networking, because the enthusiasm it goes away if it's not encouraged. Very important. Also, the speakers before me mentioned the collaboration. We want to collaborate with all the Romanian entities that have some tangency with the space. I'm talking here about universities, the local space agency, research institutes. But very important is to collaborate also with the other European states, because they have some knowledge, we have some knowledge, and if we share that and if we put all the knowledge on the table, we can achieve great things together. That being said, that was my presentation. Thank you very much. If you want to follow our NGO, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Just search their Romanian Space Initiative. Thank you very much, George. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Raresh. Very exciting presentation. I hope everyone reaches out, especially students here in our chat. Next, it is my great honor to offer the floor to Mr. Dumitru Dorin Prunariu, the first and only Romanian cosmonaut. Mr. Prunariu, the floor is yours.
Thank you, George. First, congratulations for this organization. It's wonderful. It's very necessary. And I think a lot of young people taking part will discover new things connected with Romania. And after my presentation, we'll discover new things about the global environment where we move in this respect. Also, I want to greet a lot of friends I see online, people I work with during time. My presentation could be considered an introduction to the global environment where the space activities are developed and where Romania is part of. To better understand where the place is and what is the role of medium-sized nations, including Romania, in the spectrum of space activities, I want first to stress for you some facts. The global space economy, valued at around of $423.8 billion in 2019, and includes a range of activities involved in the researching, exploring, and utilization of space. It grows with about 7% per year. The global satellite industry generated just around $279 billion in revenue in 2019. When the space race began in 1950s, it was centered on only two players, the USA and the USSR. This slowly evolved with time, especially after space was utilized not only for military but also for civilian purposes. Soon after, therefore, other countries joined the race, from France to Japan and China, with more and more countries joining the space sector as it evolved. Today, there are many countries who are well established in the space sector and are hence perceived as established space actors. This status includes the establishing space policy and strong space programs, having a history of space exploration, owning satellites, hosting large space companies, and perhaps even a rising private space sector. We may consider today that almost every country in the world is a spacefaring country, in the sense that they use satellites for communications and weather forecasting, and increasingly for satellite navigation and resource management. Not all the established space actors are ranked equally in terms of maturity of power of their space sectors and industries. Some are spacefaring nations with strong launch vehicle programs, capitalizing on their heritage in space and developing their activities to position themselves according to what is known today as space powers, and this includes the USA, Russia, Europe, and China. Just 1 minute, because I lost the image with you. Ah, okay. Other countries do not yet have the same maturity in the sector, but are quickly becoming emerging space powers, thanks to their investment and technological advancements, such as Japan and India. Other established space actors who have long-term space programs, assets, companies, and more include Germany, Italy, and Spain, on a national level rather than under the ESA umbrella, as well as South Korea and Canada. We speak today about the global space economy. The space sector has recently been witnessing a growth in the nations embracing space activities. This growth is mainly associated to emerging socioeconomic opportunities discovered in the sector, the new trends that have lowered the barrier of entry, and the quest of nations to play an active role in addressing global challenges and sustainable development while addressing also their needs in a more effective and efficient manner. You may recognize Romania here as well. These entities are known as emerging space nations, countries capitalizing on historical involvement in space, includes BRICS, countries like South Africa, European countries, like Greece, Portugal, and Romania, of course, Latin American countries like Mexico and Brazil, and Southeast Asian countries like Indonesia and Malaysia. On the other hand, new emerging space nations have considerably invested in their space sector in recent years, including but not limited to the United Arab Emirates, they already have an astronaut, Singapore, Australia, and New Zealand. Generally, the different emerging space nations have different capacities, objectives, and challenges that determine their involvement and contribution to the space sector. We may define different categories of emerging space nations using rankings within key categories and identifiers that include space launch capacities, Romania doesn't have yet, maturity of industry, we are here, capacity building for human capital or industries, also we have it. Level of established governance, we have the space agency, we have a committee in the parliament. And existence, success of national space programs. We may appreciate it by the speeches of Dr. Piso and of the other speakers. International cooperation and collaboration are important for many new space players, nations, especially in helping for access to space, building infrastructure, and ensuring the training of the workforce. Being part of an international framework allows for complementarity, as well as allowing more established space nations to support emerging ones. Emerging space nations can also build cooperation in helping leverage each country's national assets and differentiators. These national space players must tackle how to integrate space into different market sectors as well as build strong support from the general public. It is very necessary, especially when you want to raise the budget. Awareness and outreach to society on the benefits and importance of investing in space must be included in space activities. The European Space Agency, by instance, ESA, it's a multinational agency that currently has 22 members. I don't enumerate all of them. Canada also sits on the council and takes part in some projects under a cooperation agreement. Slovenia and Latvia are associate members. Six other European Union states have cooperation agreements with ESA: Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Lithuania, Malta, and Slovakia. ESA is an entirely independent organization, although it maintains close ties with European Union through the ESA European Commission Framework Agreement. The two organizations share a joint European strategy for space and have together developed the European Space Policy. Romania became ESA's 19th member state on 22 December 2011, and we take part in most of the important programs. An important organization for governing the exploration and use of space for the benefit of all humanity, for peace, security, and development is the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, which was set up by the General UN Assembly in 1959. This is a platform for debates and decisions regarding the global use of the outer space for peaceful purposes, where not only space powers, but also medium and small-sized countries involved in space activities have a word to say. Romania has the chairmanship of this committee for the second time now. As George said in the beginning, I was the chairman of the Scientific and Technical Subcommittee of this committee between 2004 and 2006, the chairman of the full committee between 2010, 2012, and now the president of ROSA, Dr. Marius Ioan Piso, chair scope was from 2020 until 2022. Here you see the importance given to Romania and the very active contribution of us to this activity, of course. The benefits of space technologies and applications towards supporting society have become increasingly important in the global agendas of sustainability and development. Being also a vice chair of the Working Group on Space 2030 Agenda, I want to stress a few things about this initiative of COPWAS, where all 96 COPWAS members, including states like Romania, may contribute to its setup and implementation. The Space 2030 Agenda seeks to outline a comprehensive and inclusive long-term vision for space, detailing how space-based data, space infrastructure, services, and applications can address goals in the major frameworks, above all, towards the achievement of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. The four pillars of Space 2030 cover space economy, focusing on development of space-derived economic benefits, space society, to advance the societal benefits of space-related activities, space accessibility, allowing access to space for all, and space diplomacy, which strives to build partnerships and strengthen international cooperation and the governance of space activities. Within its initiatives, Space 2030 aims to encourage the advancement of emerging space nations. Of course, Romania is included here, and we are very proud that take part directly in the setup of this initiative. Indeed, all four of its main strategic objectives mentioned above can be addressed in some way by the development of the space sector for these new players, from encouraging industry, innovation, infrastructure, and economic growth within the country, to supporting solutions for climate actions, water management, and sustainable land management. It also inspires new collaborations and cooperation with established space actors and the broader space community. The space sector has proven to be a powerful socioeconomic growth driver, and hence it is important for countries to embrace space activities. We did it by organizing the Space Agency in 1991. Because I'm a cosmonaut, the 103rd in the world, I may stress in the end of my presentation that 41 nations have sent their messengers into the outer space by a wide international cooperation. Romania was the beneficiary of such an international cooperation. The total number of people traveling on board a spaceship outside the Earth's atmosphere is today 569. During the last 20 years, all space flyers, excepting the Chinese ones, had the opportunity to work on board the International Space Station, the largest ever international cooperation program, where medium-sized countries are well represented. Here, because we take part in the activity of the International Space Station through the European Space Agency, I may say, and Marius Pison can confirm, that we own 1% of the International Space Station. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, Mr. Pronariu, for your presentation and your inspiring words. Now I would kindly ask you to join me in a session of questions and answers. I would like to remind you that we are running a bit late on time, and we do have a large set of questions that we received from participants before the meeting. In the interest of time, we will be referring to those questions, and I will then work with you to facilitate getting any other questions answered and contacting our distinguished speakers. If I may begin with the first question, how do you see with the relationship with ESA evolving, and do you plan any projects independently of ESA?
This is a question addressed to
Mr. Piso. It sounds like it is
addressed to you. Yes. Okay. Well, ESA is a perfect environment for both large space actors and developing ones, because ESA has a cooperation mechanism, which means geographic distribution. This means real multi-year programs, missions. This means also that you can keep the intellectual property rights in your country, in your member state, and also that each member state has access to the whole database of ESA technology. So it is a very important organization. And as Doreen Pronari mentioned before, so we have 1.16 owners of the European Space Agency. This means that we are developing this very good membership, and in the same time, sometimes ESA is, I can say, even in conflict with the European Commission requirements, in particular when we are making reference to defense and security, and also to external policy. ESA is not a political organism, and we hope that we will be able to manage those issues. Framework of the EU. I can say that my country, Romania, had the initiative 1 year ago during the Romanian presidency of the European Union Council. Romania revived the so-called Space Council in Europe, which is an organization joining the European Union member states and the ESA member states, which are not EU, and in this moment there are at least three. This means Norway, Switzerland, and the UK. And it was Positive facts, so the Romanian Space Agency definitely contributed substantially to this issue. And one month ago, Germany, the actual chair of the EU, continued this tradition. So ESA is an important organization. ESA is, sometimes ESA is very expensive. And the launches with Ariane 6 or with Ariane 5, they are very expensive, but Ariane 5 is the only launcher having more than 100 launches without failure. And when the payloads are expensive, you see it's not very important that the insurance company is providing you the money back. It is a lot of work which cannot be evaluated by insurance, and we prefer to have a sure and a good launch despite of a cheap system. And so that's Europe. I can give you answers for this detail. You can utilize my email or my WhatsApp anytime for details. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Piso. Any of our other speakers would like to weigh in on that? Okay, we can move on to the following question, which goes along the lines to your answer, Mr. Piso, which is, do civil and military goals and policies towards space align in Romania?
You see, we're speaking about security, usually. Security included also defense. The war changed since the 9/11 events, which marked, a new era in the area of security. The war become vertical. This means there are not fights only between countries, but we're fighting with terrorism, which is everywhere. But we are fighting also with the plagues, as we see today with the COVID. We are fighting with natural disasters. We may fight sometimes, hopefully not, but with a potential dangerous asteroid trying to connect the Earth. And those goals are merging. And in Romania, we're able to provide space solutions for civil security and also space solutions for defense. It is important to have most of the countries of the, more developed countries, they already organized the space force. We need sure communications. They are not, offensive weapons. They are systems for communication, for information technology, for assistance, for telemedicine. And this is a new kind of war, and a very important component, a growing component in this war, is artificial intelligence, is information security, and in this area, space is offering a solution which might be able solutions which might diminish the conflicts. In the same time, they do not affect the human resources. This is very important, and I think space is moving a bit, is saving lives in security and conflicts.
Thank you so much for your comprehensive answer, Mr. Piso. Now, if I may direct a question to our younger panelists, what are some of the opportunities for Romanian software developers in space?
I could take that. Well, actually, I think this is one of kind of the key strengths of Romania. We have a booming ICT sector, one of the fastest internet connections in the world, and this translates to a lot of data processing capacity. So space and Earth observation data, satellite communication signals, satellite navigation signals are perfect to be implemented and go hand in hand with these trends of big data analysis, artificial intelligence, and all of these trends that are kind of transversal. So actually the ICT community kind of is the best community to process this data, to look at this data, and create businesses out of this data, because that's the most important, providing services to either the private or public customers.
Thank you, Alexandra. Radish, would you like to weigh in on that?
Oh, I think Alexandra answered perfectly.
Thank you.
Hey, there's quite an active community, because like Code for Romania, for example, Codet, that come to mind. Such an active community of volunteers that I wish we would engage with them, for example, as a personal kind of mission to engage with them to think about how we can include space within their applications.
Thank you so much, Alexandra. And the following question, I believe, falls in line with our more experienced speakers, particularly you, Mr. Pronario, if you would like to take this one. I know Mr. Pisa would like to weigh in as well. Why does Romania no longer have astronauts or cosmonauts?
Yes, this is an interesting question. And you know, to take part in a space program with astronauts, you have to be deeply involved in the science, economic, political things connected with the country that launch astronauts. We are full members of the European Space Agency, and we have the full right to take part in the new selection of astronauts at this level. We don't have any agreement for launching people into space with Russia or China or the United States. But in the framework of the ESA, we could take part, but we are waiting for the new selections. The last one ends in 2009, and the six selected astronauts during that time, they are still flying in the space. Thomas Pesquet will fly second time in the beginning of the next year, and after him, Matthias Maurer in the fall of 2021, the seventh actually selected astronauts at European level will fly for the first time next year. So we expect new selections at the level of the European Space Agency.
Thank you, Mr. Pronario. Mr. Pisa, would you like to weigh in on that?
So if to launch an astronaut, in our opinion, is to you need it to do something, and most of the astronauts were launched for, let's say, for public, for to have an image support for the national space programs at the beginning. Then they were prepared as professionals for, let's say, they managed to fix the Hubble telescope, to do some other things in orbit. So they are professional for the spacefaring countries. The Dorin Pronari, who was astronaut number 103, so things were a bit different those times. It was there were astronauts launched by the Russians coming from all the Comecon countries, and as in my awareness, no other astronaut from no other country had a new astronaut in the last 30 to 40 years from that system. And astronauts are the new mission for the Artemis program to go to the moon back. Moon is very interesting, and the concept of a moon village is important. On the moon, we are looking sometimes at the moon as the external continent of planet Earth. It's very difficult to think about astronauts to Mars, because there are many reasons against. The most important is radiation. And probably we would be able, we'll launch an astronaut when needed. So we did not consider at our level that it's worthy to pay let's say, a ticket for an astronaut launch by commercially just for image, for national image. We have enough, let's say, confidence in space in Romania. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Piso. Unfortunately, we are nearing the end of our discussion today. We are unfortunately have to end the Q&A session. And again, I'm willing to work with our guests to connect with our distinguished speakers and follow up with questions. Thank you all very much. For our closing remarks today, I would like to give the floor to Dr. Ion Jinga, Ambassador and Permanent Representative of Romania to the United Nations. Dr. Jinga, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, George, for giving me the floor. Just for a very few remarks. First of all, it was a great opportunity to hear the thoughts and ideas from well-known specialists, but also from promising youth and outer space enthusiasts. It is really a privilege to see here today Dr. Herzfeld, but also Dr. Piso, and Ambassador Prunariu, who is almost a legend in Romania. It's good to see you again. I think we may all agree that this year has been particularly difficult for all of us, especially because of the COVID pandemic, but not only. In fact, the entire world is dealing with pressing issues like climate change, malnutrition, protracted conflicts or violations of human rights. Also, the cooperation in the use of outer space is a very important theme discussed at the United Nations, with a special place in the history of the organization. And just to remind you that Romania, which we, by the way, celebrated yesterday on the 14th of December, it's 65th anniversary since we have joined the organization, the United Nations. So Romania is one of the founding members of COPOS in 1959. And the member states, the UN member states, understood, and I would say they formalized since the very beginning in 1959, that the international cooperation in the peaceful uses of the outer space, it's of a paramount importance, not only for the stability of the world, but also in contributing to the development of our nations. In the context of, let's call it nowadays, hectic realities, we may notice how the space-related activities found their place as part of solutions to current problems. For instance, advanced devices like decontamination devices were developed based on the experience from space flights. And of course, we should always keep in mind the fact that COPOS was set up to govern the exploration and the use of space for the benefit of all humanity, for peace, for security, for development. As I said, this year we all had to adapt to new realities, to adapt our works, and our colleagues in Vienna and here in New York, both on COPOS, but also on the fourth committee, they had to find innovative solutions in order to be able to continue their work and to assure the continuity of our activities. It was not easy, sometimes it was quite difficult, but they succeeded. So I think they all deserve congratulations. And because we speak about congratulating, I think you, George, you also deserve to be very much congratulated for hosting and organizing this event. I have not much more to say because I'm overwhelmed by what you have said before by the speakers. I used to be many years ago a physicist engineer, but it was from the past when I was a student. Ambassador Prunariu was to the point to go to the space, so it was very much exciting. Now I'm just a humble ambassador, so I will stop here, not before wishing you all happy holidays and a happy new year. Thank you.
Mr. Ambassador Jinga, thank you for your kind and inspiring remarks. I would like to briefly give the floor to Romanian diplomat Adrian Tudorache, who will address a brief message from His Excellency Mr. George Maior, the Romanian ambassador to Washington and George Washington University alumnus. Adrian, you have the floor.
Thank you, George. Thank you, and greetings from the Embassy of Romania in Washington, D.C. I join Ambassador Jinga's remarks. These are wonderfully expressed, everything related to the panelists and the current webinar. So allow me to convey the appreciation of the Ambassador of Romania to the United States, George Maior, himself a GW alumni, for Dr. Hertzfeld and Mr. Leoa, and for the Space Policy Institute's organization of this webinar. With such an excellent panel with Dr. Fiso, Dr. Punario, Ms. Gercano, and Mr. Bishag. The opportunities outlined by the speakers regarding engagement in the space domain show the increased potential of cooperation, both on policy as well as on concrete projects in this area. I believe such opportunities, including, for instance, others arising from Romania's hosting of the most powerful laser facility in the world, the ELI, or the future hosting of the EU Cyber Center, or the highly competent workforce in this field, fit very well in the framework of the U.S.-Romania Strategic Partnership, as well as in the guidelines set by the U.S. recent National Strategy for Critical and Emerging Technologies, or the U.S. National Space Policy, as both those documents underline the importance of cooperation with allies. So thank you again. Congratulations, George, for this outstanding webinar, and we are looking forward to more on this line. All the best.
And I think we can conclude our webinar today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today and for staying with us until the end. We appreciate your time. Thank you.